We're reading this morning, hearing this morning, that Aer Lingus could ask rival airlines to carry passengers whose flights are cancelled as a result of the pilots' planned industrial action. The company confirmed yesterday members of the trade union IALPA in Aer Lingus plan a strict work to rule from June 26, 6 days' time, in a move set to hit flights and holidaymakers. Aer Lingus predicted yesterday disruption was inevitable as a result and vowed to communicate any changes or delays or cancellations to affected customers as soon as possible. The Taoiseach and the Tánaiste have called on both sides to enter talks and try and thrash out a solution. Doesn't look like there's any talks underway at the moment. With me in the line to talk about this, we've got Eoin Corrie, travel journalist, and we also have Patrick O'Donoghue, Chair of the Marketing Committee of the Kerry Tourism Industry Federation. Talk about the impact on any sort of disruption on inbound tourists coming in here on our tourist season. Good morning to both of you. And Eoin, listen, look, tell me first of all, like, what's your information as to what the latest is here? One of the headlines in the papers this morning outlines the fears for major disruption because there's no talks even going on at the moment. Is that the case?
Oh, good morning, Gerry. No, there's no talks. There's no likely to be talks. One gets the impression that there is going to be a little bit of seeing what damage can be done by the work to rule that IALPA have introduced. It'll start on Wednesday. Very, very, things are very, very tight. Listeners will know exactly how tight they are this time of the year. If somebody goes sick, if an airplane goes tech, particularly on elsewhere when the part has to be flown out from Ireland, things can get can unravel fairly quickly. The aviation industry, Gerry, relies on flexibility, as does all hospitality. As Patrick will confirm, you know, you need people to come in at short notice. You need people to cover for each other. You need to have people accepting phone calls out of their hours to say that there's an issue and we need you. If a pilot goes out of hours waiting for a plane to be cleared, we need another pilot to come in. That's the flexibility that IALPA have withdrawn. And how Donal Moriarty, a good Kerry man who is the CTO of Aer Lingus, has been quite vociferous over the last few days on the airwaves, saying that things will get worse if the work to rule continues, and at some stage something is going to start going wrong.
Yeah, and looks like it will. I mean, the work to rule, like, it isn't a withdrawal of service, but effectively, in a thing as finely balanced as having the right plane in the right place at the right time, it kind of is, isn't it? And it all unravels quickly from there.
It's very, very retro. I mean, we haven't heard phrases like go slow, work to rule. They're the sort of things that you see in reeling in the years from the 70s and 80s. And the reason is that there's a whole lot of checks and balances, Gerry, in the industrial relations system. You know, you don't, in the old days, the only weapon a union had was to go and strike. That's what they did when something happened, as small as little thing, there'd be two words between a manager and an employee. Bertie Ahern would have been really at the heart of the action, reconstructing industrial relations in Ireland. So what we saw in the last 6 months is the failure of those safety nets. IALPA quite clearly had not much interest in the pilot tribunal within Aer Lingus. The WRC, they didn't even pause for. They were very quick to go to arbitration. Unions don't like going to arbitration because you generally get a solution that makes both sides equally grumpy. It's three independent arbitrators. But they rejected the arbitration. I know it can't be said often enough that if you go quickly to arbitration and then reject the arbitration, it puts a different colour on the whole dynamic and the talks. They're both saying, oh, we don't want to hurt passengers, we want to go back into talks. But Aer Lingus have been through this and accepted the arbitration. IALPA has said they're not interested in it. Very quick to get their ballot. They're a very disciplined union, traditionally very disciplined union, very high, very supportive of their executives. And making my comments from the sideline, just watching all of this and being mindful of the previous strikes I've covered and the previous confrontations I've covered during the noughties, the then president of IALPA, Evan Cullen, and Willie Walsh, the then president of the CEO of Aer Lingus, he had been a union rep in his own time. They were at each other's throats, and there was a lot of posturing and all of that. We do have a new president who was critical of Evan Cullen for not being aggressive enough. And what they've done is rushed to get the strike ballot through so that they could threaten passengers during summer. Not much point having an aviation strike in winter. They are not going to give that up too easily. You're absolutely right in your analysis. No talks, no likelihood of them. I do expect there to be agreement. I don't expect it to be a full strike, but I do expect that to come from the WRC. You know, they'll go into talks, they'll break down, they'll go to the WRC. But in the meantime, IATA will use every single pressure point they can think of on Aer Lingus. And the first of them is up this work to rule, which starts next Wednesday. There's nobody in way of telling what flight will be cancelled when you've a work to rule. That's the difference between it and a strike.
And will this bid to try and get other airlines to help, will that mean anything in a busy tourism season? There's only so much capacity, I'd imagine, the other airlines have as well, Owen, to try and help Aer Lingus.
Everything's very tight, no doubt about that. But it's very different from those days when Willie Walsh and Evan Cullen were squabbling, because Aer Lingus is a part of a four-airline group. IAG, British Airways and Vueling will have... every airline has a couple of... If you're a big enough airline, you'll have aircraft there on standby for tech issues. The problem is you can't really pull them from other airlines, because when the tech issue arises in British Airways, they don't want their crew and their aircraft working ordinary shifts for Aer Lingus. There are other alternatives for Aer Lingus getting wet leases in from other aircraft that wouldn't be very busy at time of the year, generally Southern Hemisphere, or for instance Canada, where Canada, even though it's Northern Hemisphere, an awful lot of their traffic is to the Caribbean in winter, because it gets very cold in Canada. Listeners will have relatives over there, my own daughter's over there. So all of those options are open to Aer Lingus. They're not cheap, they're not expensive, but there is another set of conversations going on, oddly enough, with someone who hates Aer Lingus but hates the union even more than he hates Aer Lingus, and that's Ryanair.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with regards to that. Finally, a listener asked a question. I don't know if you have the answer to this, but look, these are the questions people are asking. If you have a flight that gets changed to a different provider or alternative airport, can you get a full refund then?
And no, alternative operator, no. Another airport won't happen. They'll get the airport that they're supposed to. Now, they get it. You may have to transfer it through Heathrow or somewhere like that. But the refund option comes if their flight is delayed, it's pushed 3 hours. It doesn't really happen if you end up on a BA flight instead of an Aer Lingus one.
Okay, Owen, listen, thanks a million for updating us in that situation. That's Owen Corry there, a travel journalist, talking about, I suppose, where things stand. And just if your flight is cancelled, you have a choice of rerouting as soon as possible, subject to availability, free of charge, rerouting at a later date, and a full refund within 7 days. That's if it is cancelled, shall we say. So that's just part of what you need to know heading into this period. Patrick O'Donoghue is with us on the line. And Patrick, look, that doesn't sound great from what Owen is telling us, that this will likely cause some pain before it's resolved. What sort of impact and how concerned would the industry be about what's happened?
Oh, well, of course, it's causing a huge amount of concern in the industry, and particularly in Kerry, you know, the county that's most dependent on tourism in the whole country. We live in an island, as I think Owen might have mentioned. You know, we do require our carriers to bring people on and off the island in order to be able to, you know, come to stay in our hotels and visit our attractions and eat in our restaurants. So it is causing a huge amount of concern. I suppose there is a feeling it's probably mostly impacting on the people who might have been dependent on the transatlantic, because Aer Lingus would be a huge carrier transatlantic. There are other options, I suppose, when you're coming from the UK or continental Europe to come onto the island. And I'm sure, as Owen said, Ryanair will be more than happy to jump in and fill a void that might be created by Aer Lingus. I'm heartened to hear him say, though, that he doesn't believe it'll go to a full strike. The concern I would have, though, is that you know, there's a bigger conversation going on within IAG, and the fact that Aer Lingus is only part of a bigger organisation, that, you know, the company might be more inclined to play hardball and stick out for longer, because they could have knock-on consequences for the wider organisation. At the end of the day, Aer Lingus is only a small part of a very big cog here. So I suppose our concern is for the US market, but even in that area, there's a huge amount of increase in choice that people have. Now, if people have already their bookings made, which they more than likely have, for if you're travelling to Ireland this summer, the chances are you have your bookings already made. But hopefully Aer Lingus will be able to find alternatives for people under the work to rule. If it goes to a full strike, of course, that is going to have a much bigger and a much more impactful.
It is a concern that depending how long it goes on for before they end up going to the WRC, if it's a week, if it's 2 weeks, if it ends up being 3 weeks and goes to all-out strike, are we looking at the prospect of empty hotel rooms and empty coach tours travelling around the Ring of Kerry, or not travelling at all, as the case may be?
Well, as I say, there are. It's not like before, like years ago, when there was no choice, that the only airline flying into Ireland, transatlantic in particular, was Aer Lingus. Now there are numerous airlines flying mainly into Dublin, obviously, but also into Shannon. So it's not as impactful as it might have been one time. And as Owen said, I think they will probably be able to fill some of the demand. At the end of the day, Aer Lingus is a huge brand, and it's a big ambassador for the country. So I would be concerned about the long-term impact that it would have on the brand if it does go on longer, because it is a huge attractor for people to travel to the island. Like, people have so much choice now, particularly in the US, Scotland, the UK, Italy, Paris. Like, these are all huge drawers, and if people find it easier to travel there, and they have certainty, they're more than likely to go there, and they might defer their holiday to Ireland. So it could potentially have that impact. Absolutely.
Yeah, they might say, look, Aer Lingus, they're always going on strike, I'm not going to chance that in the future.
Well, that is the risk, I think. If it's prolonged and if it goes on for an extended period of time, and because, you know, Aer Lingus might be the meat and the sandwich of a big debate going on between the employees of IAG in general, and this might only be a guinea pig situation. That's the concern I'd have, that there might be a bigger... And I'd like to have asked Owen that question. Like, is there a risk there that this is just a small battle, but a much bigger war?
A much bigger war. And from that point of view, then, it comes down to that question of a number. And the 24% IALPA want, the 9% that they were offered, and how long the brinkmanship will go on, and how tightly IAG will stick to that 9%, because they know if they give an inch here, it could mean a mile elsewhere in terms of unions and running costs, effectively, for them.
Well, I would like to hope that both on the union side and on the company side, that they would see the importance of the airline to the country of Ireland, and the importance to the tourism industry, and that will feature somewhat in their deliberations, and that, you know, that hopefully some sort of a middle ground can be found. As I say, it's hugely important to the country. It's hugely important to the tourism industry. I suppose the other side of it is, though, that, you know, these things always create uncertainty, and there is a chance that maybe Irish people, and I would encourage anybody listening that if they had maybe thought of deferring their summer holiday until there's a little bit more certainty, that they might consider maybe travelling in the county of Kerry. There's plenty of deals and offers still. There's plenty of availability across the months of July and August. There's an awful lot happening with all the different festivals that are happening in Kerry, and that people will consider staying at home maybe and just wait and see out the storm, and maybe take a weekend away or take a holiday at home, because that is the opportunity, I suppose, to a certain extent.
If your flight's disrupted on the way out, it may be disrupted on the way back. You could be in for all sorts of trouble.
Well, these things create uncertainty, and no one wants to travel with any sort of uncertainty. And if you're in Spain or in the south of France, and there's a risk that you mightn't be able to get home, you are going to think twice until you know what the situation is like. Whereas if you can get in your car and drive to Kerry, or drive from Killarney to Dingle, or Dingle to Ballybunion, you know, there's a lot less uncertainty involved, and it might be just as nice a holiday. Hopefully the weather will improve a little bit, and then Kerry will be a hugely attractive destination for this coming month.
With that in mind, Patrick, how is the season going?
I'd say we're seeing a huge amount of normality now. I think the bounce that we would have got post-COVID, when people were having these revenge holidays, when they were travelling for the sake of travelling because they weren't able to do it for 2 years, I think that's probably seen its course now at this stage. And I think this year we've seen a huge amount of normality, which means that bookings are a lot slower than maybe they would have been previously. I think that, as I say, there's plenty of availability still in the county for July and August for the main tourism seasons. I think obviously the cost of doing business has impacted on prices, and that is having an impact. There's no question. We've seen businesses close across the county because they're just unsustainable. They can't charge, you know, their customers what they need to charge in order to make money, and it's resulted in businesses closing. However, we are resilient in our industry, and particularly in Kerry, so we will see it through, and I think, you know, you'll still get tremendous value for money in the county, and you know, unrivaled experience. Like, Kerry now is a world-class destination. We compete with destinations all over the world for both domestic visitors and international travellers, and I think the experiences that people have invariably are very, very positive, and that will stand to us no matter what. Like, you know, and we will always be at the mercy of vagaries of what happens internationally, whether it's airlines or, you know, international geopolitics or whatever it might be. But we are a resilient industry, and we will see it through. And I would be hopeful enough for the summer. Bookings are reasonable. I would say they're a little bit flatter than they would have been this time last year. But I think when the heel of the hunt is true, and we're looking back in maybe in September and October, it will still have proven to be a very successful season.
Okay, finally, Patrick, just on a separate issue, and underlining the importance of the American market, the 4th of July this year, it's been renamed the Irish-American Friendship Festival. What's the reaction been to that?
I think it's been reasonably positive. Again, you know, as I said, we're at the vagaries of international politics, and I think that, you know, I think a sensible solution has been found. A sensible compromise has been found. It would have been an awful shame to lose the festival altogether, but I think we have to appreciate what's going on in the world as well. Like, I know what I mean, and sensitivities are very raw at the moment, and I think there's a reasonable compromise has been found, and I think that to both sides in the argument, I think that there's a reasonable compromise has been found, and hopefully we can get on and enjoy the activities that are going to happen. The American market is important to Ireland, and just bear in mind a lot of Americans are would have very similar sentiments to a lot of Irish people in relation to what's going on in the world, and we shouldn't assume that just because they're American and just because they may not agree with American government policies, you know, that the individual Americans shouldn't be welcomed and shouldn't be given a hospitable welcome when they come to this country and to Kerry in particular, and I'm sure that will happen.
Okay, all right, Patrick. Well, listen, thanks very much for updating us on all that and talking to us about it. That's Patrick O'Donoghue there with us on the line, talking about the possible impact to the tourism market of the Aer Lingus work to rule as it is at the moment. That was Owen Corry, travel journalist, and Patrick O'Donoghue, chair of the marketing committee of the Kerry Tourism Industry Federation.